My name is Thierry Van Cutts. I'm from the University of Liège, Belgium. And my I have two remarks and one question, then they will be directed to the second presentation by Glauco. First of all, I would like to elaborate on the comment of Kostas Vounas. I do believe that PMUs are most interesting to detect the situations where the system is going to evolve to instability after a large disturbance. I think Kostas made a comment on this, and I'd like to just go in the same direction. And your work is basically showing this on the Nordic system in your presentation, right? By the way, I'd like to stress that there is an IEEE task force that you mentioned, I think, on test system for voltage stability that is going, this is giving the details of this system, and we plan to also provide trajectories in the form of time series of complex bus voltages so that researchers can use this as input of a realistic post-disturbance instability scenario. A general comment, this is my second remark, measurement versus model-based detection. So model-based is generally more demanding. We need to centralize data. We need to use a model to anticipate the system. But in our work using sensitivities, where, by the way, we just had to solve one sparse linear equation at each time we wanted to compute the sensitivities, we found that anticipating the overexcitation limiter was giving a lot of information. It means that if you think that a machine is going to be limited, when you compute sensitivities, you already use the equation of the limited machine to carry out your small signal stability, let's say, or small signal analysis. Measurement-based, like your approach, is basically much less demanding in terms of calculation effort. But I have the feeling that you feel the effect after the fact. I mean that after a generator has been limited, you have to wait for the generator to be limited in order to feel the effect through an increase of Thevenin voltage. This is my understanding. So finally, to go to the question, if referring to one of the last slides, in the Nordic system that you simulated, the system was collapsing at 640, if I checked in the paper. And am I right that the detection point where the two curves, impedance, Thevenin impedance versus load impedance cross, is something like at time equal 620 seconds, which is 20 seconds before the system collapsed? Can you elaborate on the anticipation capability of the technique there?
Yes. Collapse. Not this was a short-term collapse. There was no time to react. Thanks for your comments, Thierry. Actually, you were one of the driving forces for us to try to test the algorithm for large disturbances. That's why we came up with the Nordic 32 system. We computed the impedances when things changed. That's correct. We cannot anticipate that. You could use other informations, other measurements, like field current measurements. You could use also that. As soon as you cross that line, you could also do some alarm or something like that. But it's true that we just can compute the impedances when things change. Otherwise, we cannot compute. There is no anticipation. The anticipation is you are seeing that the impedances are getting together. So you can have a threshold of this difference of the impedances and do alarm. So you decide if what to do. You curtail. Load, you block taps, so it's up to you what to do. You can also take into account, as I said, some other measurements to help you in this decision, like the measurements of the field currents. Do you want to add something?
Something about your question, Thierry. It's not Corsi Sandro. As you notice, we use a very dynamic model when we analyze this indicator. Why? Because we are convinced that the dynamics of the process strongly impact on the voltage stability when it happens. And visually, the indicator that you have seen takes into account what is happening in the process, and because visually the this equivalent Thevenin equivalent is equivalent in terms that take into account all the underway process, including the effect of the limiting over excitation limit, including the effect of the all load tap change. But apart that, I want to say that from years and years, I also put on the table the point that the information about the operation of the over excitation limit and including the on load tap changer is an additional information to anticipate something about what is happening in the process. And answering to your last question, visually an indicator is useful when anticipate the instability, because if the indicator give the information when the collapse or the instability is happened, it's not of interest from the practical point of view. So visually, the tuning of this algorithm can be done in a way, according to the grid, to the situation, so on, in a way to provide the information in on time for what is needed to allow the operation of the protection, and so on.
So my question goes to second presentation, Professor Taranto. Yeah, Anurag Srivastava from Washington State University. So that's good work. The only question I have is, have you compared your predictor corrector with least square, and what benefit you get in terms of convergence and time?
We did this comparison in this paper when we included the noise, right? So that was the comparison we have, but I didn't check convergence problems in the least square. You're gonna have problems of convergence if things don't change, and you still keep trying to identify. So we are going to have problems because your matrices will be not invertible, so you can get the problems in our algorithm. We don't have any kind of matrix inversion, so you're just doing some logics here. So you're just tracking, so there is no convergence problem in our algorithm. But I know that you can have that in the least square if things are not changing. You're trying to continue to identify. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Alex Papalexopoulos, Eco International. I see a lot of progress from this session and the previous one in the state estimation area. This is very, very good. The question I have is, why you think this progress has not propagated in the vendor community? ISOs are willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on market systems. I'm coming from the market perspective. At state estimation of DMS has become so important because they drive the real-time markets, the five-minute market that ISOs run in the US. The complexity of the market systems has increased substantially. There is a regulator out there who is forcing ISOs to make changes, and a lot of money is being spent to implement those changes. However, the EMS, the status measure, has not, from the vendor community, has not kept up the pace of complexity to support the markets. So the gap of sophistication between markets and status measure from the vendor community, again, is increasing. And this is a serious concern from us, from the market perspective, because we really want the best possible state estimation to drive real-time markets. But this is not happening. So the question is, why those good things that you guys produce don't find their way into the vendor community? I don't know if we have anybody from the vendor community here to help us with this, but it's a serious issue. We don't see state estimation improvements propagated, find their way into an actual operating system in an ISO environment. And as a result, we may be seeing in the future some impact on real-time markets, which a lot of money changes hands daily. Thank you.
Yes, Antonio Simões Costa. Yes, actually, I think there is some latency until those new concepts arrive at the industry, power industry. I remember in the 80s when we started working orthogonal state estimators, it took some time, but then later on, this orthogonal state estimator came to the industry, and they are one of the standards nowadays. One important thing, I think, is try to, and our work was in that direction, try not to change the paradigm radically, right? So if you note the proposals that we made, try to keep and change the existing state estimator, and then have just another estimation module that you can plug there to improve. So I think this is one way that we can maybe make those ideas more palatable, more easy to be accepted by the industry. Other than that, what I can say, like in my country, in Brazil, the very fresh news, this national operator just last week has decided as a new policy to install PMUs all over our network in that high voltage. Joe Chow commented before, we have already at low level, a low voltage level, we have a nationwide coverage with PMUs at university project in my university, in Federal University of Santa Catarina, and then we have at low voltage we have complete coverage of all regions. So we have I think 17 installations, PMU installations, in universities all over the country. And with that, the national operator, for instance, for disturbance analysis, they became interested in that, and they are using those data for post-mortem analysis and things like this. So one thing is, I think we have to strive to provide ideas that are not too revolutionary, but you can take advantage of the new technologies and they still without changing the paradigms too much. Maybe another pace, we should continue to work towards better algorithms. Like, for instance, this tracking estimator that Professor Glavich presented today. I think this is a good idea for the future also. So that's what I can comment on your question.
Kostas Vurnas. I have a question for Glauco and Sandro paper, but also applies to all other papers that were presented up to now that use the impedance matching approach. We published a paper two IREPs back, 2007, in Charleston with my then student, Dr. Sekelaridis, where it was clearly shown that the impedance matching in one bus can only happen after the instability of the complete matrix, because it is actually monitoring the diagonal element of a matrix, only one load changing at a time. So I wonder if there is any comment or any indication that this result that we had shown there is wrong, so that you can have maybe impedance matching before system instability, if you have any indication on this. Thank you.
No, I agree with you that monitoring just one bus is not a good thing to do. But the problem is that Meliopoulos just raised the question of state estimation, and if you have to have a good state estimation in order to have a good Jacobian matrix, otherwise you cannot get good sensitivities. And so we are trying here to use the technology is bringing us. So we may spread the PMUs along the voltage that along the buses that you think that could be the critical ones in some situations. You don't need to just plug in one place. You just spread the critical bus. This is my view. The critical bus in that scenario will appear, and then you don't need to go through the good state estimation and so on, because I don't think we do a good Jacobian in Brazil. I ask them, do you rely on your Jacobian? No, they don't. So there is a technology that can, even though it's approximate, but can give you reasonable answers. So that's why my point of view. But I agree with you. If I have the models, of course I can do better just measurements in in one bus. Of course. Yeah.
Corsi Sandro. Okay, the algorithm work according with the local measurement, and that is the starting point for any kind of application related to the weather area. Related to the weather area, and adding, if you want, there are 2 points to be better improved in one way. What could be the best selection of the buses in a power system where to locate this PMU and the related algorithm to have a good observability of the phenomena in the process? And in the other, as we published in another paper, we also show that having a different PMU with the same algorithm working, you recognize whether the phenomena is growing, where are the bus that put in evidence the incoming instability and so on, because when you have this kind of identification, you can begin to alert the operator and so on. Not necessary, you see a trend, that trend could be recovered or not, but anyhow, you can see what is happening in the power system, and up to reach to a given critical situation. Given critical situation, as I said before, is related to give a threshold. The operator, according with the experience, can be the final for each grid, so on. But I want to say that in principle, the starting point is to use the PMU that we use for WAMS for monitoring and so on, also with the algorithm that allow when the information is centralized to have a clear view of what is happening in the power system.
Claudio Canizares, University of Waterloo, Canada. Alex Papalexopoulos raised a very interesting question, and I like it because it's a reason for discussion, not only discuss, well, how you did this, how you did that, but how is this being applied in industry? I fully agree with you that all of these should be making it making their way into the markets, and I fully agree with that. Antonio mentioned, well, it takes latency, yes. It took 20 years for the industry to take the voltage, the PV curves into full operation, right? My own personal experience, I have two particular experiences with this particular approach, working with ABB, the ISO of Ontario, trying to improve their dispatch of reactive power. We looked at the problem, we worked with them. ABB was waiting for the ISO to tell them, yes, let's take this, so improve our system, our energy management system. But the ISO had two problems. First, they only save about $2 million a year, so they didn't consider that significant, because that required for them to retrain the system operators to redo the management of the system again, right? So that was a major issue for them. The second problem, and this came from the ISO. The ISO determined that they lose about $10 million a month in redispatching generator units because they don't compute properly the transfer capability of their system, because they don't use system dynamics. So what did they do? So they set up a project, which is operational right now, in which they basically run full contingency analysis dynamic simulations to actually compute the limits instead of offline, online.
This is the IEMO?
It's the ISO of Ontario. It changed. Yeah, the one in Ontario. So it depends on the savings, the complexity of the problem, and also the policies behind it, right? Who is willing to pay for this?
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.